Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, welcome, everyone. Welcome. Well, what a fabulous day we have today. And as you know, we are all about living well, living strong. And both of my experts today that are joining us are going to help us do that by incorporating mind, body, spirit. You know, the statistics around diabetes are staggering. We hear them all the time, but almost 26 million people in the U.S. now have diabetes, whether they know it or not, because around 7 million of those people who have it apparently don't know. And today we're joined by Dr. Michelle May, Time.com. They called her first book one of the 10 most notable books on this topic. She's joining us today to talk about a program to help us thrive with pre-diabetes and diabetes. And I have to say, this is not a diet book. This is a lifestyle book. And we'll find out more about that in just a moment. And then coming up around 12:20, we'll be joined by John Whiteman, who's going to share the work he's been doing in The Way. His new book is called 9 Days to Feel Fantastic. And if you've got the spring itch, as my grandmother used to call it, you'll want to hear what he says about The Way and how it incorporates mind, body, spirit to help you change your life for the better in home and business. But first, let me introduce Dr. Michelle May. She is a medical doctor. She's the founder of the Am I Hungry Mindful Eating Workshops and facilitator training program, amihungry.com. And she's the author of Eat What You Love, Love What You Eat, How to Break Your Eat, Repeat Cycle, Eat, Repent, Repeat Cycle. And the new book we're talking about today, Eat What You Love, Love What You Eat with Diabetes, a mindful eating program for thriving with pre-diabetes or diabetes. Dr. Michelle May, welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much. So glad to be with you.
Well, we have a lot of information. If I can just string my words together, I've been up all night with a sick crisis situation in England. So I'm staggering on my words here this morning. But I want to ask you about this book because you had a very specific goal when you wrote this. And that was, I read, to promote sustainable life and dietary change for people with prior pre-diabetes and type 2 diabetes. So how is this book different?
You know, I think so much of what we hear about diabetes, and in fact in about nutrition and weight and eating in general, is fear-based. It's all about avoiding dire consequences, all about what you shouldn't do, what's bad for you. And I think that people ultimately, for making sustainable changes, really move toward what feels good, what they enjoy, and what they like. So our approach is much more sustainable in that it's an inside-out approach. We want people to be thinking about these choices from their own personal perspective, with, of course, some guidance on information and tools and strategies that will help them do that.
Right. And we should say you collaborated on this book with Margaret Fletcher, who's a registered dietitian and certified diabetes educator.
That's exactly right. So Margaret and I have been working on this book really with the perspective that although mindfulness is an ancient concept that's been used for many, many, many years, and more recently has been used to help with stress management and management of other chronic diseases, it has never been applied to diabetes before, to our knowledge. So it was really our concept to try to bring this concept of mindfulness to diabetes self-management.
It's a really good book because you incorporate so much information in here that I think is just really helpful and really practical. That's the key thing. It's really practical. But before we get into the program itself, I want to talk about pre-diabetic situations, because I read that based on the fact that almost 26 million people have diabetes and 7 million of those don't even know it, then the estimates are that something like 79 million people in the U.S. alone are in a pre-diabetic condition. So what is that, and what can we do about it? Because I also read that 58% of people in that condition can actually prevent diabetes.
That's right, and I think that's the most important message right there. You know, it's in the past, and I've been a physician for many years, and in the past, we sort of saw prediabetes. There wasn't even a diagnosis of prediabetes. We would say borderline, and there was this implication that if you were borderline, you just sat around and waited, or uh-oh, here it comes, or uh-oh, you know, what am I going to do? This is a terrible thing. Now what we realize is that prediabetes is truly on the continuum to the development of diabetes. It is at that point where your body is beginning to, or your body is trying the best that it can to manage your blood glucose levels by dumping a lot of insulin into your system. And so at first, your blood sugars will stay below the cutoff for diabetes, but they're higher than they really should be, and they are also showing us that you're developing other hormonal problems that can lead to more weight gain and make you more susceptible to heart disease and other issues. So the reason that this is all so important is that the studies have shown that a person who is diagnosed with prediabetes and makes lifestyle changes that are sustainable can actually prevent the development of diabetes. And it's so important because once you have diabetes, it means that your system really can no longer keep up, and it's very difficult to go backwards.
Mm. So let's start at the beginning of that then. And how do we know if we're in a pre-diabetic state? What is the definitive test for that?
A blood test. Your doctor will do a blood test for you. The numbers are probably, it's probably too much information, but usually a blood glucose between 101 and up to 126 would be considered pre-diabetes. They may also do a hemoglobin A1C, which is a different type of blood test that measures an average blood sugar level over the last 3 months. Your doctor will determine what the timing should be on these tests. But people who have risk factors, in other words, people who are at higher risk for the development of diabetes, will have those tests done earlier. For example, if you have a family history of type 2 diabetes, if you are obese or have a sedentary or inactive lifestyle, or if you have other lab abnormalities like a low HDL, that good cholesterol, if your good cholesterol is low,
right.
High triglycerides, et cetera. So I think the most important thing here is to see your doctor, make sure that you're going to see your doctor on a regular basis, and ask about any blood tests that are needed to screen for this. And if you find out that you have prediabetes, this is a very good thing. You have been diagnosed at a point where you still can do something about this, even prevent yourself from progressing onto full diabetes.
Right. So what is it we need to do? Obviously, we want to incorporate the strategies that you've included in your book. But immediately, from a medical point of view, we just need to get this under control and cut out immediately what?
Well, I think it's helpful to take a step back. And one of the things that we do in the book is try to really look at what diabetes is. And from a very probably overly simplistic perspective, in essence, diabetes is your body is unable to manage the amount of glucose in the bloodstream appropriately. So by having a diagnosis of prediabetes or even diabetes, what you're going to do then is to try to help your body manage that blood glucose level so that it doesn't cause the problems that we all associate with these conditions. Specifically, and what we really focus on in the book, is your diet and your physical activity.
Right. And so you've developed, through your work, you've developed something you call, I want to make sure I get this right, it's a model called the Mindful Eating Cycle. And you first introduced this, I understand, in the Am I Hungry workshops that, you put together. So talk to us a little bit about how you put that together and why it's important in relation to diabetes and pre-diabetes.
Well, I think the standard approach has been to give people a list of rules and do's and don'ts for eating and exercise. And, you know, it's not that that information isn't valid or true even. It's just that we as human beings typically don't like rules. And even when we're scared to death when we first get a diagnosis like this, we may be highly motivated to comply with those rules at first. But again, the real difference, diabetes is a lifelong condition, so it's exceedingly important that people develop a manner of managing their issues and their blood glucose level in a sustainable way. The mindful eating cycle really helps us look at our decisions, specifically around eating, from an inside-out place. We look at why we eat, when do we feel like eating, what we eat, even how we eat physically. How do we consume our food? Are we driving, watching TV, distracted? Are we paying attention to our body's signals of enjoyment and satiety, for example? And we also look at where we invest our energy. Where do we spend that energy? From a standpoint of physical activity, of course, but also looking at how about balancing body, mind, heart, and spirit? Because having diabetes doesn't mean that the rest of your life comes to a screeching halt and all you do is manage your diabetes. The whole purpose of managing prediabetes or diabetes is so that you can live the rest of your life. And I kind of have a saying that when you manage your life well, then your health tends to manage itself better as well.
Right, right. So you have put together, in this book, you've put together six steps, basically, to help people be more mindful. Awareness is the first one. Curiosity is the second one. Talk to me about why curiosity is in there.
Well, you know, if we're just going to try to follow a list of rules, it becomes boring. It becomes punitive. It's not very much fun, frankly.
Right, right, right.
But if you're going to have something for the rest of your life, what about having a state of curiosity? I wonder what happens if I eat whole grain bread instead of regular bread. I wonder what happens to my blood glucose. Oh, look what I found out. I'm not feeling very well. I wonder what my blood glucose level is. You know, having this state of curiosity, although it sounds overly simplistic, I think it's so valuable, because when we're curious instead of judgmental and afraid, then we can move forward. We can learn lessons. We can learn from the mistakes that we make. We can begin to notice connections between how I eat and how I move and what happens to my health. So this sense of curiosity makes this much more fun and, again, much more sustainable.
And you mentioned judgment then. We have to let go of judgment. And you do talk about how, you know, judgmental thoughts about blood glucose levels, diet, inactivity are counterproductive and can derail the process. So how do you talk to people about stopping that judgment? Because we all do it.
Oh, we
all do it.
We certainly do. You know, a simple way to think about it is how would you teach a young child to ride a bike? You know, if you were teaching a child who'd never been on a bike before, you'd give them training wheels, you'd run behind them, you'd make sure they had a helmet, you'd encourage them, you'd hold on to them, and you'd protect them and make it as fun as possible. And then as they got more skilled and more comfortable with it, you begin to peel off the protective layers, maybe take the training wheels off, maybe let go for a little while, but you'd still be encouraging. And then eventually when that child was ready, you'd let them go and they'd ride the bike. If they fell off, you wouldn't run up to them and say, "You idiot, you knew what to do. I told you everything that you were supposed to do, and you just quit. What's wrong with you? What's the matter with you?" Yet, when we're managing our diabetes or other health conditions, we tend to slip into this, you knew what to do, you should have done it, you're a bad person, what's wrong with you? This judgment that ultimately derails the process.
Right, right.
So adapting a more loving, even loving parent-like approach with ourselves, being willing to learn lessons as we make mistakes, allows us to move forward instead of keeping us stuck in a place of shame and guilt and frankly, fear.
And all of this work is so good, and we've done shows on mindful eating before, but never anything that's been directed to the pre-diabetic or the diabetic. We're almost at the end of our segment. What do you want people to take away from this if they heard nothing else today, Dr. May?
That having pre-diabetes or diabetes is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to begin to manage your decisions about your eating and physical activity. No perfection needed. No perfection is even possible, but you can take charge of this condition and live a long, healthy, vibrant life.
Yeah, and I think it's worth just revisiting that an estimated 79 million in the U.S. are in a pre-diabetic state, and 58% of those need never see diabetes, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I'd love for you to consider this idea of mindful eating. It's oftentimes a pathway into mindful living. You know, we may have diabetes and learn about these tools and then use them in ways that changes the way we live our lives in general. So I hope people consider eat what you love, love what you eat with diabetes as a way to really take charge of this.
Yeah, and make lasting changes. I know you have a couple of websites. Tell me which are the best websites for people to look at so they can find out more information.
For diabetes, I would go to diabetesandmindfuleating.com. There they'll find a link, links to purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. They can also read reviews. We've also put some free resources there, some downloadables, for example, a fearless blood glucose monitoring log and an Eat What You Love with Diabetes plate method for helping with food selection. And if you're interested in mindful eating for management of other food and eating and weight issues, I would suggest amihungry.com, amihungry.com. And I will say, as an aside, that I was on Amazon the other day, and I noticed that they have the first chapter of the book available to read online. So you don't even have to purchase it. You can just click on the Amazon. Even if you don't have a Kindle, you can read it right on your computer. So that might be a great way to sample this and see if it fits.
Excellent. That sounds great. Dr. Michelle May, great information in here. I appreciate you being with us today. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And again, Dr. Michelle May's book is called Eat What You Love, Love What You Eat with Diabetes, a mindful eating program for thriving with pre-diabetes and diabetes. We'll be right back in just one moment. Please do stay with us.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to the Northwest School of Animal Massage, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, December 2nd, it's a Healing Sunday on Animal World. Joining me in the studio for the show, Jude and Paul Ponton, chiropractors and authors of Accutonics for Dogs and Cats. Learn all about this healing modality using tuning forks and sound and how you can actually learn to do it yourself. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Coming up in December on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, we'll share tips for coping with adult sibling rivalry around the holidays, how to kick the fear and worry habit to the curb, and highlight some fun ways to take a break and get your groove back before the new year begins. Tune in every Monday at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And I'm going to tell you who my guest is. His name is John Whiteman. He's an inspirational speaker in business and personal development. He writes and speaks about The Way, which evolved from his work as a business troubleshooter. His new book is called 9 Days to Feel Fantastic, How to Create Happiness from the Inside Out. Let's bring him on and find out more. Welcome, John Whiteman. Welcome.
Hi, Vicki.
Very pleased to have you here. And of course, you are from my home country, which I may be flying back to any second now.
I thought there was a tinge of an accent there.
Well, yeah, 27 years I've been here. So so let's share a little bit more about your background, John. Interesting work that you're doing in The Way. But I'd like to just let our listeners know a little bit more about you. I, of course, know because I've done some research on you. But you were working with business people. You were helping them when they were in crisis mode many times. You threw your whole life into this, often to the extent that you made yourself ill because you were trying to save other people. So just tell us a little bit about what you were doing back then.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. Basically, I decided to go from a sort of quite a good business career into helping others, troubleshooting companies, which is very much with the business in mind. However, what I found is that in 100% of cases, when a business is in crisis or struggling, the owner or the board or the people that are related to the sort of the decline, they also were in crisis, and that ranges from anxiety was a given, depression, suicidal, lack of self-worth, marital, the whole raft of emotional sort of negative emotional problems that we all have inside us, apart from when you're in crisis with a company, they seem to dictate your life, really. And so I decided firstly, I noticed that when a company recovered, the individual recovered, and also that basically off the back of that made me think, what was actually really special? What did I actually enjoy doing? And it was actually seeing the individual recover. So I decided to get to work on the individuals, really, and ask them to do very, very simple things based on what I felt was missing in their lives. And if they did that when they were in the crisis, it actually had a marked effect and made my job as a business troubleshooter very, very much easier. And so so that led on to probably about a year's worth of thinking, well, what was actually happening? How come these people were feeling better even though they were in massive crisis?
Mm-hmm.
And it all whittled down to 9 elements, which I've written about and I now speak about.
Yes, and those are incorporated in this book. In fact, all of the work is around The Way is about the 9 elements. There's a 9 elements daily checklist I pulled off your website, and 9 days at a glance. So there's a lot of help on your website, which I want to make sure we tell people about when we finish here. But so the way really is a philosophy and a map for life. Is that a good way of describing it?
Yes, yeah, that's exactly what it is. What essentially it is, I'm taught through experience. Everything that I write about, I've directly experienced. And so therefore, it's not like I've done a course on something and then it's my take on something. These are sort of in-the-field battle scars that over 20 years of helping companies and people is sort of, I suppose, a very, very simple way that you can get yourself feeling better. And the key aspect to my work is that what I want to let people know is that you can do it yourself, so you don't need someone like me. You can do it yourself, and really that these tools are very, very simple. They're things that anybody can bring into their life. But what it actually does is that energetically it makes you feel good. And so therefore, if you feel good, well, then life is good, irrespective of your situation. And then off the back of that is that with these nine key elements, which only form the foundation to my work, it's
right.
Sort of like the foundations to a house, really. It just allows you to manage and monitor where you are. So if you don't feel 100%, it's actually just noticing which ones of these elements are missing, and then you just reintroduce them into your life. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah. And you said that people, you know, the kinds of questions that people were asking were, you know, how do I create flow in life? How do I create more balance and momentum to help me live, you know, the life I really want to live instead of the one I'm living? I feel I'm stuck. How do I get out of that? And how can I increase my happiness? And, you know, this is a very simple program. I think you'd agree with that. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, it is good common sense. And I'm sure if you apply it, it's going to make a huge difference in your life. One of the things I wanted to ask you, because sometimes people are, you know, skeptical about seven ways to do this and nine ways to do that. And you just ask that people bear with you and keep an open mind.
What I generally say is that for a start, is that my teachings are simple, is that if I make them complicated, which is very, very easy to do, then that actually plays on my ego, which is something that I don't actually want to have as a main driver or intention in my life, is that if you can put things across simply, then people understand it. There's a key difference to believing what I say is sort of, yes, that makes common sense.
Right.
To actually physically bringing it into your life, purely because if you actually take on board the work that I've sort of present in the book and you do it, then you know. And the key difference is shifting from a belief to a knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you know that, hey, if I feel a little bit frustrated, or if I feel a little bit down, a little bit depressed, if I've got mind chatter, or I'm a little bit anxious, what's actually missing? And then very much it's just a matter of ticking the boxes, realizing what you are like as a person. Say for me as an individual, I tend to have a little bit more over momentum, is that I'm always wanting to get somewhere faster than life should necessarily sort of display, which I'm sure a number of people have got.
Right.
And so
right.
With that, what I'm mindful of is to make sure that I bring my first five elements, which are about balance, I make sure that they are in my life, or I'm aware of them a lot more than somebody that doesn't have necessarily as much momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of find your own way, and really just find a step. But overall, it's actually when these nine elements come together, that's where life rocks.
Right.
And I don't know whether you can mention the nine element test, but purely off the back of that, over 4,000 people have taken this test at the moment.
Myself included.
Pardon?
Myself included.
Oh, right. Okay. off the back of that is that currently, and obviously statistics can change, is that 100% of people that do these nine elements either feel good or fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just a matter of bringing them in and seeing how you go.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. I want to, when we come back, ask you some questions about the book itself. So I'm going to ask you why you started the way you do. And we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And my guest is John Whiteman. And his new book is called 9 Days to Feel Fantastic. It's all about creating happiness from the inside out. And please do stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, I think the speech pill's working. What do you think, Eric?
Excellent.
All right, thanks. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Coming up in December on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, we'll share tips for coping with adult sibling rivalry around the holidays, how to kick the fear and worry habit to the curb, and highlight some fun ways to take a break and get your groove back before the new year begins. Tune in every Monday at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Following the herd is fine until they lead you off a cliff. Think for yourself. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And my guest in this segment is John Whiteman. We're talking about the first book in the Way series. It's called 9 Days to Feel Fantastic, Creating Happiness from the Inside Out. And John, I wanted to ask you why you begin the book the way you do. You say that before readers go any further, you want them to take a few moments to set out the intention of what they would like to gain for themselves.
I think predominantly what I'm looking for people to do is actually to not necessarily think deeply about the book, is actually take action on the book. And that's the key. And so therefore, everyone has a number of books. You can read a book and it can be, yes, I agree with those things. But unless you bring the parts of someone's book into your life, then again, going back to the previous segment, is that you don't know. And so therefore, just by creating, because we live such busy lives, it's very, very easy just to pick up a book, go through it, and pick up another book and go through it. It's actually just to stop, purely because what I've found is that very few of us actually stop in a day. And we don't actually give thought to our life. We're very, very busy running through our lives, seeking to get to the next best moment, when actually the only moment that you've got is the moment that you're in now. And so therefore, just by connecting and thinking, actually, where am I in my life, and mm-hmm. where do I actually want to go? Setting the intention of what direction you want to go is key, really. I'm doing a talk over in the UK that I'm probably going to be speaking in the States later on this year about living your dreams. And it's through my sort of my work and studies and with people, is that I've found that the reason that many people don't live their dreams isn't about money, and it isn't about not having enough time and the standard excuses, is actually because they don't give a thought to live their dreams.
Mm.
And they don't actually think, well, actually, hang on a second, let's live little dreams. Is that they think about the big ones, maybe, but it's actually the more thought, the more intention that you can get and give to living a life of your dreams and living special moments, surprisingly, or not surprisingly, the more often that they actually happen. And so by consciously thinking and setting your intention at the start of the book, hopefully that creates a bit more awareness and an opening to getting your life rocking, really.
Right. And it is all too easy to have these dreams, and because we've got them up here, you know, in a cloud on our coming out at the top of our head, just forget that we do have to work on them a little bit every day for them to actually come to fruition. And, you know, none of us are guaranteed a tomorrow, as, you know, I've experienced this weekend yet again. It's just... there is no guarantee of tomorrow. So that mindfulness that you talk about and incorporating mind, body, spirit, I think is really critical. In fact, I wanted to just share a quote from you. I tweeted this week because I liked it. I retweeted it. You said, the more you analyze your life, the more detached from it you become. Just do it.
The sort of a major part of the way, which is, I don't know how much it comes through in this book, is that all our stuff, all the stuff that we cling around, is actually all based in our mind. And therefore, by thinking about and analysing your life and where you are, I find that you miss out on the experience. You also move out of balance, purely because in my teachings is that if you imagine a little triangle where you've got on each point mind, body and spirit, is that my work's about getting your life to flow. And in order to do that, you have to think less and not more. And it's actually in the thinking less, which is key, because you tend to connect more with the spirit, your breath side, or you connect with your body. And really what that does, that actually brings a balance. And it gets rid of most of the dramas and the depression and the anxiety, which are all mind-based. They tend to just disappear and wash away. So by moving forward in your life, if you can actually just think, well, actually, when did I actually not think? Probably just before you went to sleep, and that's where you've got rest. But in the course of a normal day, is that we're forever analysing, and we tend to think, and we think, what's the life about? What's the meaning? And things like that. Or we read books like mine. And it's actually just the living of life which is key, because it's about living. It's about having the inspiration to, these are my dreams. These are the things I want to do, which mm-hmm. I've found also is that tend to wash away from when you're a child. As you move to adulthood, your dreams tend to subside, and really your dreams are there to be lived. Doesn't matter whether they're small ones. Everyone's got hundreds and hundreds of dreams, but by living your dreams, your life automatically moves into flow.
Right.
And when you're in flow, that's amazing.
Right.
And so if that answers the question.
Yeah, and I remember you saying when you were in flow, the feelings that we'd normally label as bad become manageable because we have no resistance to them.
Yeah, you completely let go. And when you're in flow, everything's magical. For me, flow and enlightenment are the same words. One is just more scientific and one is more spiritual. They're one and the same, and so therefore, if you can achieve flow or achieve enlightenment, which I know that everybody can, I don't believe that everybody can, I know everybody can, then your life is amazing and there's absolutely nothing stopping you.
Now, the nine elements in the book, you layer them, you call it like a layered teaching method. Talk to us a little bit about why you did it that way. In fact, let's go to break first, so I don't have to interrupt you while you're talking about that. And we'll talk about how they're layered. And I mean, it's very simply done. It's not like you're layering on a ton of information here. So my guest here is John Whiteman, and his book is called 9 Days to Feel Fantastic, Creating Happiness from the Inside Out. And you are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
OMG! Grammar abuses, no, LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
Every generation needs a voice, and on Mondays at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150, Lewis Howard's show, Head of the House, is the voice for the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Head of the House brings education, insight, and information that brings health and healing to the challenges of managing your home, relationships, and your career. Tune in once, and you will be hooked. That's Head of the House every Monday at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
More choices, more topics, more shows. One station. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You listen to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And my guest is John Whiteman. His new book is the first in a series, the Way series. It's called 9 Days to Feel Fantastic, Creating Happiness from the Inside Out. And who does not want to feel fantastic? John, before we get into the layered method of learning that you've taken through this book, I want to just make sure people know where they can find your book if they're interested, because it's not on sale in the U.S. right now. I guess Hay House decided to postpone the launch, and they're having a bigger launch later in the year. But tell us.
That's exactly right. November the 1st, and I'm coming over probably in October / November to launch it.
but it is available. It's just not available here, right?
Yes, you could actually get it off. I can't remember what I mentioned in the break, didn't I?
Come on, Eric, pay attention.
Depository,
book depository.
My memory's going with you.
I know. So bookdepository.com?
Yeah, bookdepository.com, and they ship worldwide, and you can get the book directly from there.
Okay, and your website is just johnwhiteman.com.
Yeah, there's two websites. One, purely because I work also with businesses trying to create flow in, well, not trying, just creating flow in businesses, and that's johnwhiteman.com. One that is a little bit more spiritual and a little bit more personal development is thewayjohnwhiteman.com, and currently you'll probably find more on thewayjohnwhiteman.com. In particular, so less business, more towards the spirituality, more towards the inspiration. But either one, whichever one is sort of good for you.
Right. So let's just talk a little bit about this, because you broke up the nine elements into 9 days, and each day you add an extra element. You're layering on those elements. Why did you do it this way, and why 9 days?
And 9 days, really, because there's nine elements, and so therefore the layered learning is that, for me, you learn in little bits rather than just cramming everything in. I do cram things in. I do a 5-day workshop that is quite intense, but I suppose if you see yourself when you drive a car, is that when you actually first get into a car, you might just focus on the steering wheel, and then you actually focus on, and just by each day I add an element, which is your clutch or your accelerator or gas pedal over with you, and so progressively what you're doing is that you're layering your learning, and so therefore it actually sits deeper in you, and it actually creates the knowing, and so therefore you get a positive effect off doing just one element, and then when the other one layers over it, you do elements one and two, and so on. And what I've found is that basically just allows your body, and it just allows it to sit more, that you're actually then able to bring it much more easier into your life, purely because you're living it.
Right. Now, you say it's important, critical, that we make how we feel a priority. And a lot of people might hear this and think, well, boy, I don't have time for myself, period, let alone making how I feel a priority. So talk to us about some of the ways that you might have encouraged people you work with to make themselves, how they feel, a priority.
Yeah, that's a really interesting subject, purely because I feel that we're conditioned to give and we neglect ourselves quite a lot. Is that nurses, say, for example, is that it's prime example. They tend to give, and you're giving energy all the time. Mums with children, you're giving everything to your child. And what actually quite often happens when you don't look after yourself, because issues like guilt might arise and things like that, is that you actually become energy depleted. And so therefore, off the back of that, and I've done it in troubleshooting where I've given everything I can.
Right.
And off the back of a success, or it doesn't necessarily have to be a success, is that you get ill. And so therefore, quite a lot of people that overgive, and I think that we're conditioned to overgive. I know that there's the minority that we would say sort of take, but I don't see that as in the mainstream. I think that that's actually just something that is planted in our minds that everyone's on the take. I don't accept that. I think that we don't nicely nurture ourselves enough. But if you actually nurture yourself and you feel good, if you imagine now at the moment, Vicky, if you feel fantastic, which I know that you're not feeling fantastic at the present time, but if you did, how would that make me feel?
Mm-hmm.
It would make me feel better. And so therefore, looking after yourself more, you're able to give more. And so therefore, say in your situation at the moment where you will become probably exhausted and energy depleted, because you're focusing on somebody else, is that by actually bringing thoughts and actions into your life to make sure that your energy is looked after, when you actually go into the environment where you're needed to help and give, you're doing it from a position of strength.
Right.
And so therefore you're able to give more. No one would hop in a ring with Mike Tyson they were exhausted, and so therefore
I wouldn't hop in him anyway.
Yeah, that's the point. I might have a little rumble, but I don't think I'd be standing for that long. But so therefore, it's so important to look after yourself, and so therefore, off the back of that, you can give more.
Right.
And that's actually how I work. Is that I've found that in not with an ego. Looking after yourself, it's not saying it's about me and things like that, but it's actually just being conscious that if I feel good, then you emit a nice energy.
Yeah.
And that energy emittance is picked up by other people.
Yeah.
And
you have more to give.
Yeah, very much so. If you feel depressed and angry or anxious, well, then that also comes across.
Mm.
But they're always your emotions. They're not someone else's emotions.
Right.
And so it's only you that have the ability to self-manage how you feel, and realizing it's like a pebble dropped in water. Is that as energy, the ripples of the water emanate outwards as energy. And so if you can actually focus on making yourself feel centered, very aware, energetically strong, then you're able to have larger ripples that impact more and more people positive.
Yeah. You know, and I've been telling my brother and sister every time I speak with them, you know, many times a day, you need to take care of yourself, make sure you eat, make sure you take breaks, make sure you're getting enough rest. And then I forget to eat myself, which
yeah.
I think each one of us has done, you know, trying to look after the other. You're trying to look after the other one all the time.
It is. And that's exactly the spiral that, because they probably don't listen to you, or if they do, it's because telling, certainly with my brothers and sisters, when I tell them something, it generally creates resistance.
Mm.
They have to work it out themselves, and so therefore you can offer that as advice. But the best way of doing it is actually by showing them by bringing it into your life.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
And so therefore, they're not thinking, oh, hang on a second, Vicky's telling me to do this, and she's not doing it herself.
Right. Right.
I think that probably is. Let's end that one there before I get beaten up by you over the radio.
let me ask you this, because I know that you turned your life around from what you were doing. We talked about at the beginning of the segment here. I read that you are kite surfing the English Channel, or had plans to do that. Yes. Is that still on?
It is still on. We haven't had a lot of wind over here, but what I try and do is that I set myself a dream, or I set myself lots of dreams, and actively take steps each day to live those dreams. And one of them, for some reason, that when you actually do... Inspiration comes from the not doing, and so therefore from stillness, that's where you get your dreams. And so therefore, by becoming a little bit more still in your life, it doesn't happen often for me, does it a little bit a day, is that dreams pop into my head. And one of them was, I'd love to learn to kite surf, and off the back of that, because I'm quite challenge orientated, I've opted to kite surf the English Channel for a Guinness World Record. I'm up against a team, Richard Branson's team.
Yeah, I read that. Oh,
and so therefore, it's a challenge. It's exciting. And equally, I would be sort of, it would be quite wrong to say I'm just doing it for the fun. I'm also doing it because I'd like to get a Guinness World Record.
Mm-hmm.
So doesn't matter if I do or not. I think it's just the fact that if I talk about people living their dreams, then I've got to do it myself.
Right.
So actively, I at the start of the whole conversation is that I actively do what I preach, and so therefore know that it's accessible to everybody.
Mm.
So whether that's climbing a mountain, whether that's even seeing a sunrise, start with the little dreams. One of my first dreams was I hadn't seen a sunrise for years because we lived in a little valley.
Right.
So one morning we actually went out before sunrise on our bikes, and it was freezing just to see the sunrise.
Mm.
So it's those simple things that quite often we miss because we become a little bit busier. And so it doesn't have to be big dreams, but what you find is like learning to surf is that if you get in the water, you start to ride the little waves, and then because you're in the water and you're doing it very often, the big waves come. And the big wave for me this year would be kite surfing the English Channel, as well as speaking to 100,000 people, sorry, 1,000 people at a Hay House conference in London.
Mm.
In September, which you'll probably hear my knees knocking in America.
Well, I think your work is great, and I've really enjoyed talking with you. You've helped calm me down today.
Well, you're going through a sort of a tough period, but very much it's actually you centering on yourself. And I know it's difficult because your mind trips out.
Right.
But that's precisely why you need to breathe, come into your spirit, and do a bit of exercise if you've got the energy. Walk, get out into the environment to try and create more balance.
Right.
And then you'll feel stronger and you'll be able to give more.
Yeah, well, thank you. And, you know, my dog makes sure I get out in the fresh air, trust me.
That's good.
John, I want you to email me when you've done this challenge, and I want to hear that you beat Richard Branson's team. I thank you for being with us today, and listeners can find out more about John Whiteman and his work. His book is called 9 Days to Feel Fantastic, Creating Happiness from the Inside Out. One of his websites is johnwhiteman.com. John, very quickly, what's the other one?
It's thewayjohnwhiteman.com.
Okay. That's simple enough. Thank you so much for being with us. And thank you for joining us this week. I will be back next week. Until then, live well, live strong. Thanks for being with us. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair.
If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Coming up in December on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, we'll share tips for coping with adult sibling rivalry around the holidays, how to kick the fear and worry habit to the curb, and highlight some fun ways to take a break and get your groove back before the new year begins. Tune in every Monday at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.